Well, let's turn in our Bibles then to John's Gospel, chapter 16, as well as Acts, chapter 1. I am slowly reading a book, slowly as in I have it in my computer case, and I take it to school with me, and I read it when I have opportunity in at the school. It's a book that I have to carry a pen and a highlighter with. I have to write things down. I have to underline and highlight. It's just an incredible book. Sometimes I've even had to write some things down because I disagreed with it. You know, I mean, sometimes he's just off the deep end. And I want to make sure that I know where that is. So I make sure that I mark it well too. But so many times as I've been reading the book, working my way,
I think about situations of other people's lives. It's like, wow, this would be an encouragement to them, or that person needs this, and that person needs this section. Boy, if they could get a hold of this here. Isn't that what we do so many times? We hear something and we think of somebody else. That person and this person and the other person. And we look at their issues and how whatever this is would meet them. Whatever this is would help them. It's hard for us to see or hear something and allow it to reflect for us. We want to share it with somebody else. Rather than allow the situation or the circumstances or the words that we read or the words that we hear put a mirror up in front of us to see who we are or what we are, or see how it can be beneficial to us or how it can meet a need for us. We're using the scoop shovel to shovel it somebody else's direction. Maybe you're not that way. Maybe it's just all me. But I kind of think we're all in the same boat. At least in most circumstances, we all have the same things going on. And so I kind of think that maybe I'm right. That it's easier to shovel it to somebody else than it is to shovel it our direction. So when I read this passage of Scripture this morning, or these passages, I want us to really focus our attention on bringing it home. Now, you may be aware that somebody sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you needs it. You may be aware of that, but do your best. Restrain yourself to think about the home. I'm talking about you personally. To bring it into where I am and where you are. I don't always, as I'm reading that book, always look at somebody else. There have been times. Just this week, as I was reading one of the sections, I did reflect very deeply, and it brought me to tears. So I'm not always looking at somebody else, but I want us to focus on a personal this morning and restrain ourselves from pushing it aside to somebody else. Now, these passages are very familiar to you. And with that familiarity, it becomes easier to use the scoop shovel onto somebody else. But let's do our best to focus to what God would be maybe speaking to us individually. Acts chapter 1, I want to begin with verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You're familiar with that passage, aren't you? You could almost quote it. And portions of it you could quote, phrases you could quote. We're that familiar with it. This isn't the first time the disciples heard this kind of talk. Maybe it's the first time they heard the details, but it's not the first time they heard this kind of talk. We can go back to John's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse number 7 beginning, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. For he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So he was preparing them. That was before his death and resurrection. This other now in Acts chapter 1 is following his death and resurrection. Now we're getting real close to the time when he goes. As a matter of fact, we read it in this passage in Acts chapter 1. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And that was all. They didn't see him anymore. The only other one that saw him in following years was Paul, as he was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. He had a vision of Christ. And then in John, he was as he was in exile, he had some visions, and in those visions he had times of seeing as well, but nothing at all what they were used to up to this point. But the key to what I'm wanting to share this morning, I want us to get and take home with us this morning, is found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power. Don't use the scoop shovel, shoveling it somewhere else. Let's bring it in to reflect personally. Ye shall receive power. Power is needed today. Not human strength, not things of our own abilities or what we can produce, but a power that is supernatural that only comes from heaven, from the divine. the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. We sang the song in Sunday school. Third verse stood out to me as we were singing it, so I stuck it in here. The third verse. Do you remember what the third verse was of the song Deeper, Deeper? The third verse says, deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, deeper let me go. If I could be bold this morning, would you allow me to be bold this morning? Well, I'm going to say it anyway, so you might as well say yes. If there's anything that stands in the way of the power of the Holy Spirit saturating our lives, it's this very thought that Charles Jones wrote back in the early or even 1900. Though it cost hard trials. Because there's not a single one of us here that's signing up for hard trials. There's not a single one of us here that's raising our hands saying, oh God, take me to the hardest place that you can send me. Now, I'm not going so far to suggest that we are doing everything we can to avoid those hard trials. We're just not signing ourselves up and volunteering, saying, God, I'll go to that distant place of hardship. I'm not talking about distant places, you know, Africa or China. I'm not talking about places like that. I'm talking about the place of hard trial. Deeper, the chorus says, deeper, higher, wiser in thy precious holy word. More often than not, probably what the circumstances are in the world today, in the church world today, yea, even perhaps in our personal world today, can be found in the words of Sidney Harris. Once we assuage our conscience by calling something a necessary evil, it begins to look more and more necessary and less evil. Now, do you know what the word assuage means? It means to make less burdensome or painful, to ease. So once we make it less painful or to ease our conscience by calling something a necessary evil, it begins to look more and more necessary and less evil. I don't know what the context is in which he said those words, but I think that it stands out on its own. At least to me, it would appear that it can stand out on its own. We are in a circumstance where evil is pressing in and the world is trying its best to mold us and to shape us and to trim off anything at all that is godlike. Anything at all that the Word of God would want to establish for us, and the world is doing its best to squeeze those things out. So when Jesus is telling his disciples right before he goes, right before he departs earth as a figure that is walking the pavement of this world and heading back to the pavement of gold, he tells his followers this key element, ye shall receive power. And he's referencing the time where he was telling them that it was necessary, it was expedient for him to go away. Because if he went away, the Holy Spirit would come, and that Holy Spirit would be the abiding comforter, the abiding presence, the power necessary. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Isn't that an important part of verse 8? In order for verse 8 and the power to be received, isn't it necessary for us to tarry in Jerusalem? I ordered something from Amazon this week. Nothing terribly new about that, but Amazon Prime has said that 2-day shipping. I ordered something from Amazon, and I ordered it with that 2-day shipping in mind, only to be told that I would not receive it for over a week. So I called customer support. I'm that kind of a nice guy. And I said, could you explain to me what your policy is on Prime shipping? And so they went through the whole thing. I said, yeah, that's what you've told me before. But let me explain to you what my problem is. If I would have been willing to pay the extra to have 1-day shipping, it would have been shipped out on Monday and I would have received it Tuesday. But because I clicked on 2-day shipping, it cannot be shipped on Monday now. I say that to say this. We want things in a haste. We want things now. We want things. And so we go to that extra mile. I wasn't willing to go the extra mile paying the extra money to have 1-day shipping. We want things. We have things. We go to the drive-thru restaurant so that we can have something to go. So have something to go in haste and keep on moving. And we're going, 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 going. But when Scripture tells us to set our feet down just a little bit more solid and tarry until ye be endued with power. To wait for the promise. You should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now, there's something that's key element here that we're not finding it in this particular passage. So in just a moment, we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Power is definitely needed. We see it in the lives of the disciples. We see it through church history. We see it in the present day circumstances of the church. We are unable to preserve ourselves by our own strength. We are unable to preserve the message of the Word of God by our own strength. It doesn't matter how eloquent the preacher is or how terrible of a speaker the preacher is. We cannot preserve the message of the Word of God in our own strength. The Old Testament clearly bears it out that it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And we find that eloquently given in the passage here in Acts chapter 1. Ye shall receive power. If it's true that once we assuage our conscience by calling something a necessary evil, it begins to look more and more necessary and less evil. If that's true, and I believe it is, I believe the principle of what he's saying is accurate, then it should warn us to be on guard for what the devil is trying to do in our spiritual condition. In our spiritual lives. So what can we do? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not, in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Does that speak to you this morning? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It would appear that Paul is saying that we are surrounded by an enemy. We are surrounded by an enemy. There's one thing that that enemy has in mind, and that is to destroy you. I don't care if you're 5 years old or under, or all the way up to 105. No, the littlest ones aren't going to necessarily feel it or understand it. They're not going to be able to picture it in their mind as to know what this is all talking about. But the devil has one thing in mind, and that is to destroy you. That's why Paul tells us that we're not wrestling against, but we are against these other powers and strengths. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We don't have time to go into all of these in any kind of detail this morning. You're aware of them. You've heard them from your youth up. And those of you that are still in your youth, you're bound to hear it through your lives. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Did you catch it? It's not a fast food drive-in here. It's a process. It's a working towards. There's a diligence. There's a perseverance that's involved. There is a supplication that is taking place. In other words, let's take that thought and that idea, what he's talking about here, of the continual working and the continual pressing and the continual diligence, and bring it over here to Acts chapter 1, that we are to stay in Jerusalem until. In other words, we are to be in the place where we should be to receive the power from on high, because we need power. Not my power, not your power, but his power. And I'm not talking about power to move mountains or to raise the dead or to heal the sick or to transform somebody's life. No, I'm not talking about that kind of power this morning. I'm talking about the power of God that will enable us to live the way God wants us to live. And you and I will not, cannot do it on our own strength. Are you struggling with something this morning? Is there a reoccurring battle that's coming after you over and over again, and you find yourself wavering in the midst of that battle? Here's where we turn the mirror and look at ourselves, because that Jesus Christ is saying, tarry and wait for the power from on high. If we're going to try to do it on our own, if we are trying to do it on our own, then we might as well be trying to drive back the sea or to push back the high waters that's around us from all the rain with a broom. If we think that we are capable of matching the enemy and all of his forces with just merely our human wisdom and our human strength, then we might as well take a little scoop shovel and go down to the river and try to keep it in its banks. Power is needed. That power is being equipped to serve God the way and how God wants us to serve him, to live for him. Now, the good news is, it's provided. The good news is that we don't have to delay any longer. We can find that power because He has provided that power for us in the Holy Spirit's abiding presence. But it's going to take us bringing ourselves to where we can be recipient of that power and that Holy Spirit. Now let me step out on some thin ice here. As much as we like to call sanctification entirely sanctified a second work of grace, it's not a once and done situation. There is a continual filling that must go on. There is a continual bringing the Holy Spirit in and His presence. There is a continual abiding that is necessary for His presence or His power to remain. The disciples found it real in the midst of the battle. The conflict was raging. The pressure was tight and tough, and the heat was increasing. And they found themselves going back to the place of prayer so that they could be refilled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had already been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they needed it again. We can get careless. And I don't have all the ins and the outs to know when something is gained or when something is lost. I don't know all of those details, but I do know and understand and believe that if we are not faithful to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to do a filling within us and a saturating over us and within us, then we will find ourselves in a weakening condition to where the world then begins to press against us. Once again, and when the Holy Ghost came, it was as a mighty rushing wind, a symbol of power. Ye shall receive power. What's your spiritual strength like this morning? Are you able to withstand? Are you withstanding the wiles of the devil? Are you withstanding the darkness that is pressing in, the spiritual darkness, the wickedness in high places that is pressing in? Are you remaining strong through the infilling, the abiding presence of that Holy Spirit, that Comforter that was to come, who came and repeats the coming for every individual that needs Him? Being equipped means that we will be receiving power from Him. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't want to eat fast food every day, but there are times that it's very convenient to go through the drive-thru. Sometimes it's very convenient to have Amazon Prime for shipping. And far too often, it's easy for us to have that attitude permeate our spiritual life, rather than tarrying in Jerusalem, allowing ourselves to go down before God and waiting upon Him. We tell him all the things that we want to have done and all the things that we need to have done and all this stuff that's bombarding us. We throw it back out at him because he cares so much for us. And he tells us to come boldly to his throne of grace and ask. And all of that stuff, we do that. But there's also a very necessity, very big necessity, important part, where we tarry before him to be endued with power. How's your power this morning? Praise God. May God give us that power that we need to withstand. Praise the Lord. Jaron, would you dismiss us this morning?